stars William Powell and Myrtle Loy as a comical, immensely likable new screen team. They were such a good team that the bosses at the MGM studios started casting them together again and again in movies such as a drama called Evelyn Prentice and a screwball comedy titled Libel Lady and a sumptuous musical biography, The Great Ziegfeld. But fan mail kept pouring into the MGM studios saying, "We want to see William Powell and Myrtle Loy play Nick and Nora again. We want another Thin Man movie." Well, finally, it did happen. 2 years after the original movie came out, back to work went Powell, Loy, director Woody Van Dyke, and the same screenwriters who'd done the original, Albert Hackett and Francis Goodrich. The result was our next film, where at a New Year's Eve party in San Francisco, Nick and Nora get tangled up in a murder in which a relative of Nora's becomes the prime suspect. In the supporting cast of this next movie, you'll be seeing a very young Jimmy Stewart in one of his earliest roles. Jimmy was 27 at the time, and Myrna described him as being very excited and enthusiastic about it all. She later said she was always sorry she never had a chance to work with Jimmy Stewart in later years when he was no longer a newcomer. But here on New Year's Eve, a nifty murder mystery with a story which starts out on New Year's Eve from 1936, after The Thin Man.
In black and white, the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer trademark lion is shown. After The Thin Man. In a black and white graphic, a sketch shows a man in a suit and hat, arm in arm with a woman in a dress and heels. They're leading a small dog on a leash past a fire hydrant. The man's thin shadow trails along the ground and up a wall. In another graphic, silhouettes show two dogs facing each other. On the back platform of the Sunset Limited train at night, the conductor is resting with his feet propped against a rail. The train passes cacti and sagebrush. It continues on and passes a mountain range and tufts of flowers. At a station master writes on a chalkboard, leaving a message that reads, "Train number 1, Sunset Limited, on time." The train slows as it rounds a curving track and pulls into the station. In a passenger car, Nora Charles is packing a suitcase as her dog Asta watches from on top of bed.
Nikki! Nikki!
Nick Charles is shaving in a small bathroom. She opens the door and bumps him.
What are you doing?
Just practicing, dear. Do you have a little slice of throat?
You'd better hurry. We're getting into San Francisco in 5 minutes.
He continues shaving his throat with a straight razor, and she returns to her packing.
Asta! My best Sunday go-to-meeting hat.
Asta jumps out of her hat box.
Dolly, don't you want to pack this?
How they can expect a woman to still have any mystery left for a man after living in a place like this for 3 days, I don't know.
Darling, you don't need mystery. You've got something much better, something more alluring.
What?
Me.
You.
They kiss. A train man sees them through their window and shakes his finger with a smile.
It's all right. We're married. Darling, you've got to pack.
Yes, that's right. Pack. I must pack.
When she steps away, Nick picks up a martini shaker. He sits beside Asta and pours himself a drink.
Are you packing, dear?
Mm-hmm. Yes, darling, I'm just putting away this liquor.
He takes a big drink, stands, and hits his head on a top bunk bed.
Ooh. If you break that, they can sue you.
Oh, baby, you know, I'm going to miss this little room of ours. It's left some lasting impressions on me.
Dear, will you pack this?
Yes. Delighted. You know, I sort of hate to leave this.
Oh, don't leave anything.
You going to wear this dress, dear?
No, you can put that in.
Oh, that's fine.
He wraps the dress around the martini shaker and packs it. As the train pulls to a stop, reporters and photographers rush toward the passenger cars. Nick leaves the train with Asta pulling on a leash. Nora follows.
Hello, Nick. Glad to meet you.
The reporters crowd around him.
For the rest of my natural life.
Are you going to keep on with your detective work, Nick?
I've retired. I'm just going to take care of my wife's money, so I'll have something in my old age.
You said you retired in New York, but I noticed you took that Thin Man case.
Oh, that Thin Man was a beauty. They're still talking about it.
Pick us up another Thin Man, will you, Nick?
Oh, that was a great case, Nick.
You'd take a case like that, wouldn't you, Nick?
No, I only took that to please my wife. She wanted some excitement.
Well, I guess she had it.
Oh, it was wonderful. Two men tried to kill him, but he's not going to take any more cases. You can print that.
That's my darling.
They walk on, but Asta keeps stopping at pillars.
Hiya, Harold.
I'm glad to see you.
Well, now, don't move this way.
Asta nips at reporter's legs. A man bumps Nora, and Nick glares at him.
Oh, excuse me, lady.
Hello, Fingers.
Well, Nick, how are you?
How's business?
Oh, I quit that racket.
Nick, look. My purse is gone.
Oh, darling, isn't that too bad? Nora, I want you to know Fingers. This is my wife.
Your wife?
Mm-hmm.
Fingers' eyes grow wide.
I didn't know you were married.
Oh, yeah, I'm married.
I know I had it.
Oh, don't worry, darling. It'll turn up, won't it, Fingers?
Well, I certainly hope so. Yeah. Well, Nick, am I tickled to death to see you.
Yeah.
Good old Nick. And married, too. I didn't know you were married.
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm glad I bumped into you. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Charles.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fingers. Come on, dear.
Well, darling, I can't just go off.
Come on, we don't want to embarrass him.
What are you talking about?
He's a purse snatcher. Think of his feelings.
Well, then he must have taken it.
So long, Fingers.
So long, Nick.
There you are, dear.
Nick gives Nora her purse.
Dear, you do know the nicest people.
Later, Harold is chauffeuring them in a convertible. A man hauling kegs in a truck waves.
Hello, Nick.
Hello, Bill. Hey, you can start delivering again. Oh, the big kegs.
Harold stops the car, and paper boys and several men hurry to Nick.
Hello, Nick. Where's your
man? How are you, boy?
How are you, boy?
Have you seen the kid?
No, where is he?
He's staging a comeback Friday night.
Yes.
Hey, Screwy, here's Nick Charles.
Hello, Mr. Charles.
Hello, Nick.
How are you, kid? How's it going?
Never better. Yeah. Say, now I know I can't lose. You coming to see me fight?
Mrs. Charles would never think of missing one of your fights, kid.
Mrs. Charles? Well, did you ever see me fight? You got a treat, then. I'm going to cut that guy up in ribbons. If I don't have him bleeding in the first round...
You'll have him bleeding. Yeah. Excuse me, Mrs. Charles.
If my legs will only hold out, I'll kill the guy. I'm gonna knock that
guy. Attaboy, Bump. You'll get him sure. Give it to him, huh?
Sure.
Okay, Al.
They drive on. A woman in another car smiles.
Oh, hello, Nora.
Oh, hello.
Who's that?
Oh, you wouldn't know them, Dolly. They're respectable.
Nick looks at her and lifts his eyebrows. Later, Harold chauffeurs the car around a wide drive that overlooks the city. He stops and gets out of the car. In the back, Nick closes his eyes.
Oh, home on the range.
Isn't it lovely? Home. So peaceful, so quiet.
If anybody wakes me up for a week, I'm going to have a law on them.
Nick and Nora get out of the car and follow Harold, who is carrying their luggage up a long, steep walkway. Nick lets Asta off his leash, and the white, wire-haired terrier scrambles through the bushes lining the walk and runs toward the lawn beyond. He rolls in the grass and hops over a deer lawn ornament. Asta races through the yard to a pen holding a white female dog and white puppies that have brown markings. The puppies trot toward the gate where Asta is standing, and he jumps up to put his front feet on the wire. A black puppy resembling a Scottish terrier comes out of Mrs. Asta's doghouse and joins the others. Asta's tanniers stand up when he sees the black puppy with the others. Mrs. Asta slinks toward her doghouse and goes inside. The puppies follow her. Asta hangs his head. Meanwhile, a black Scottish terrier crawls through a hole dug under the wood fence in the yard. He barks at Asta, who runs toward him and chases him back out of the yard. Asta sticks his head in the hole under the yard fence and watches the black Scottish terrier run away. Asta returns to his yard and begins clawing at the dirt on his side of the fence. He uses his front paws to fill in the hole. At the house, Nick and Nora walk toward their door.
Oh, New Year's Eve at home. Or would you know that this is New Year's?
I know.
Oh. Oh, you got ideas, huh?
Very definite ideas.
I was afraid so.
Going to lock the door, plug the bell, cut the telephone, and crawl into bed for a month.
Oh, Nora, you're my favorite woman.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at bed at midnight, so Happy New Year.
He rubs her nose with his, and they kiss.
Happy New Year.
They walk to the front door and Nick opens it. Inside is a crowd of people. A man greets them and reaches for Nick's coat. The man walks away. Nick and Nora stare around the room, and Nick glances outside at the front of their house.
Our house, all right.
Let's go in. That man said it was all right.
Yeah.
Hey, the bar's right in here. Help yourself.
Thanks.
Okay.
What's the celebration?
We're giving a surprise party for Nick and Nora.
Oh, Nick and Nora.
Yeah. Don't you know Nick and Nora?
No.
Neither do I. That's not going to spoil my fun. It's New Year's. So what's the odds? Go on in, shake it. It's a cinch.
Well, thanks.
Oh. Go on in and get some of that Napoleon brandy before it's all gone.
The man leaves and Nick stares at him open-mouthed. In the living room, a couple is dancing. She shimmies toward him and claps her hands. He snaps his fingers and follows her in a circle.
Let's get together on this. This is supposed to be a surprise party.
Well, I'm acting surprised.
Oh, check it out. Not bad, huh?
Oh, no, not at all.
How you doing? Anyone wise to you yet?
No.
What did I tell you?
May I have this dance?
Nick and Nora begin dancing across the room.
If I was in the far and a third floor, would you save me?
It's too late for you to be saved, baby.
No, I mean it. How would you do it?
Well, I just pick you up and put you right down.
Oh, yeah. Now you saved me. You put her down and you saved me. I'm on the third floor, too.
Hey, I'll bet you can't do this.
Here I go.
Oh, it's enough.
They pass a man doing a handstand.
Well, when I picked this big lug up, he didn't know it then. I tell him everything he knows. Hey, show him that new arm lock I touch.
Okay.
A man twists another man's arm.
Yeah, show him that headlock. This'll kill you. So look, show him how you throw him out the aisle.
He throws him down.
Sing, 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 sing. Everybody's got to sing. Down, down, down. Now you're singing with a swing.
Hello, Nick. Hello, Nora. Welcome home.
We are, attending this little surprise party for the...
A drug man practices a speech. Nick and Nora reach the other side of the room and stop dancing. They turn toward the front door as a group of people enter. Nick and Nora dance into the kitchen.
Hey, where will I put this ice?
Oh, man, don't and don't bother me.
Put it in the sink and break it up.
Where's the oil?
There isn't any more.
Where do you want these?
Over here, son. Right down there.
After that, come back from the store with some olive oil.
Oh, my toast. Oh, I'll take care of that. Oh, Mr. Charles. Oh, Mr. Charles. Oh,
hey. Oh, there, Mr. Charles. I'm glad to see you.
Oh,
there,
Mr. Charles.
Hiya,
Nick. Did you enjoy
your
trip?
Oh, you look great.
We saw your pictures in the paper.
You said you did a good job.
up in New York, Mr. Charles. I guess they'll be scared to death if there are any more murders back there.
I've been scared to go down in the cellar ever since.
Oh, don't you worry, Rose. If anyone murders you, I'll catch him.
Oh, Mr. Charles, don't be talking that way.
No? What do you think of the party they're giving you?
Well,
looks like we're giving it.
It does that now.
Something's burning. Oh.
Excuse me, madam, I'll answer the telephone.
That's probably your Aunt Catherine, Mrs. Charles. She's phoned several times. She wants you to come for dinner.
Goodbye, Mrs. Charles. I'll see you next year.
She expects you too, Mr. Charles.
Me?
Yes. There must be some mistake. She wouldn't want you.
No.
What excuse will I make?
Well, tell her that I lost the collarbutton in New York. We've got to go look for it.
It's your cousin, Mrs. Landis, madam.
Oh, thank heavens it isn't Aunt Catherine.
Go and get out of it now.
Don't worry.
I wouldn't go through that again if you had twice as much money.
Hello, Selma.
Oh, Nora, I just wanted to make sure you were coming tonight. Oh, but you've just got to come. I'm in terrible trouble. Please. No, I can't tell you now, but you must come. I'm desperate.
Selma! Whom are you calling?
Nora.
Oh, I've told you.
I can't help it.
Nurse, some pills in my bag. Take them.
Oh, no, Aunt Catherine, really,
I'm take them, or I'll call Dr. Kammer.
Aunt Catherine takes the phone.
How are you, Nora? This is Aunt Catherine. Oh, you ought to know Selma well enough not to pay any attention to that.
Well, you see, it's New Year's Eve, Aunt Catherine.
The old battle axe.
Shut up. Excuse me, Aunt Catherine. I was talking to the dog. But Aunt Catherine...
Give me that phone. Give it to me.
Nick tries to take the phone from Nora, but she pushes his hand away.
Yes. All right, we'll come.
Nick gulps his drink and kneels beside Nora's chair to look into her face.
Nicky, I'm sorry, but I had to do it. Selma's in trouble. You like Selma, don't you?
Well, not that much. Family dinner, I suppose. Huh? Aunt Catherine.
He pours a drink.
Uncle Willie.
He pours more.
Cousin Emily.
Aunt Hattie, Cousin Lucius, Uncle Thomas.
He fills his glass to the rim.
Pour me one, too.
He gives her his drink.
Thanks.
He grabs a water glass for himself and pours a tall drink. Asta slinks into the room.
Hello, Asta.
He slumps in a corner.
Why are you looking so down on the mouth? You got family troubles, too?
Meanwhile, Aunt Catherine is with Selma.
Do you want the servants to hear you?
I don't care. I'm going crazy. I can't stand it any longer. I'm going to call the police.
You do nothing of the sort. Haven't we paid out enough to hush up his other scandal?
He never did anything like this before. How do we know whether he did?
I told you I'd handle this.
I can't go on.
Shh, quiet.
Beg pardon, madame. But shall I remove Mr. Robert's place?
Certainly not. Mr. Robert will be here.
Very well.
A white-haired butler totters off.
You know he won't be here. I know nothing of the sort. I'll go upstairs and make yourself presentable. Go on. Hurry. Hurry now, because everybody's waiting.
Selma leaves and Aunt Catherine enters the drawing room.
Good evening, all.
Good evening, Aunt Catherine.
I had a birthday last week, Catherine. I'm 83 years old. 83 years old. What do you think of that?
That's fine, Lucy.
Next year, I'll be 84.
Splendid. Now we're alone, I have something important to tell all of you.
What'd she say?
Shh. Isn't that thing working heavy?
This works beautifully. It's you. You mumble.
What is it, Catherine?
Nora and her husband are coming tonight.
Catherine, after the last time.
But Catherine,
her husband.
That person?
But you said yourself you wouldn't have him again.
I know I did, and my opinion of him and what he represents hasn't changed a particle. Then I can't understand why you ask him. I have a very good reason for asking him, which you'll know in time. That must be they now. Understand now, I want you all to be present to him.
Of course, if you say so.
It's going to be very difficult.
Poor Nora, my heart bleeds for that child.
If that's Mr. and Mrs. Charles, show them right in.
Yes, madam.
Outside.
What are you muttering to yourself?
I'm trying to get all the bad words out of my system.
The old butler opens the door.
Good evening, Henry.
Is this the waxworks?
Sir?
Nothing, Henry, nothing.
Nick and Nora enter.
I'll leave my things down here.
Nick gives Henry his top hat and white neck scarf. Henry scowls and holds the scarf with two fingers.
Don't worry, it isn't catching.
Nick tosses his coat to Henry, and the old man almost falls with its weight. Nick steadies him.
Walk this way, sir.
Henry totters away.
Well, I'll try.
Nick mimics the short, unsteady steps and arm swing.
Nicky, pull yourself together.
One squint at Aunt Catherine to sober anybody up.
Mr. and Mrs. Charles, madam.
Hello. How do you do, my dear?
Hello, Aunt Catherine. You remember Nick?
How are you, Nicholas?
Nick stops mid-bow.
Hello, Cousin Helen.
How are you, you poor child? This is Nora's husband. I think you know everybody.
Oh, yes, yes, I seem to remember the old faces.
Oh, dear, I want you to meet Uncle Willie.
Poor Nora is so brave.
Uncle Willie, my husband.
Uncle?
Nick extends his hand and they shake.
And, dear, this is Aunt Hattie.
How are you?
Don't mumble, young man. Don't mumble.
How are you?
She's dead.
You're telling me.
What'd she say?
When you hear the chime, it will be exactly...
Oh, Selma.
Oh, Nora.
Selma,
so good to see you. Hello, Nick.
Oh.
Thank heavens you came.
Selma, what's the trouble? Tell me.
We'll postpone any discussion till after dinner.
Where's your husband?
Yes, where's Robert?
Robert telephoned that he was unavoidably detained. So we'll start without him. Are you ready? We haven't quite men enough to go around. So, Lucius, will you take Hattie and Charlotte? Willie, will you take Helen and Emily? Burton, will you take Nora? Nicholas, you will take Aunt Lucy. Come on, Selma.
Everyone leaves the room as Nick approaches Aunt Lucy and bows, extending his arm. She takes it and they force a smile before entering the dining room. Later, the women are in the drawing room as Selma plays piano. Nora, sitting beside her, and moves her chair closer to her cousin.
What was it you were going to tell me?
Nora, come here.
Just a minute, Aunt Catherine. What was it?
Robert has disappeared.
Disappeared?
Selma! Go on playing.
I can't go on playing.
Oh, nonsense. Go on.
I can't. I can't. What are you trying to do? Torture me?
Selma.
Aunt Catherine grabs her cane as Selma leaves and Nora stands to follow her.
Nora.
How can you act like this when you know what she's going through?
Hit Nicholas.
You bet I will.
At the dining table, Nick is leaning forward attentively.
No. Really? Well, you amaze me. Could you explain that point a bit further?
The men are all asleep.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say that. What's that? Oh, just a moment. Really? Well, now, surely you're not going to let that pass unchallenged, are you? You must have something to say to that. That's the boy. I knew you had it in you.
Nick takes a drink. Nora opens the door.
Nick. Come here.
Oh, yes. If you gentlemen will excuse me, I don't know when I've spent such a stimulating evening.
He puts a flower centerpiece on an uncle's lap.
What is it?
He leaves.
Aunt Catherine wants to speak to you.
What have I done now?
Do you know why Robert wasn't here tonight?
Sure, because he's smart.
I'm not fooling, darling. He's disappeared.
That's swell. Now, if we could just get Aunt Catherine to disappear.
They join Aunt Catherine.
Here he is.
Oh, Nicholas, I'm sorry to take you away from the boys.
Oh, that's quite all right. Well, how long has Robert been gone?
3 days. 3 days without a word.
Have you notified the police?
Certainly not. And we're not going to.
Oh, no. Robert may have been kidnapped. He may be lying dead somewhere. But we mustn't do anything about it. Our precious name might get into the papers.
Oh, don't pay any attention to her. She's exaggerating the whole affair. However, to please her, I thought you might investigate the matter quietly. With your experience as a...
Flatfoot.
I didn't mean to be as blunt as that.
Well, that's the difference. It's all in family.
Have you any idea where he might be?
Yes. He's with some woman, I know that.
Selma, you know nothing of the sort.
What about the vanity case they sent me from that Chinese restaurant?
Oh, that was a stupid mistake on their part.
Mistake? He's with some woman, you know it.
Selma, you know Robert worships you. He wouldn't...
How can you say such a thing when you know that he hates me? He only married me for my money. He never did love me. Sometimes I wish he were dead.
What? I'm just a little confused. Do you want him back or don't you?
Dick. Darling. Of course she wants him back.
Selma, don't. Please don't, Dick.
No, I leave this in your hands, Nicholas. If you'll excuse me, I'll go back to my guests.
Don't worry, darling. It'll be all right. Nick will find him.
Well, the one sure way to get him back is to cut off his money.
I know.
Well, if he doesn't show up before tomorrow morning, I'll go down to the police and see what I can do.
Thank you, Nick.
Mr. Graham calling, my dad.
Ah, David. Hello, how are you, David? Happy New Year.
David, how are you?
Nora, it's nice to see you. Well, thank heaven you two are back.
Yeah.
Selma, how are you, dear? Any word yet?
I'll tell you what.
What?
Let's take David and sneak out. We'll go somewhere and celebrate New Year.
Hey, that's a good idea. How about it, Selma?
Come on, darling. It'll be like old times when we were all engaged.
Yes, before we made any mistakes.
What do you mean, mistakes?
Oh, I was thinking of Selma.
Come on, Selma.
Well, thanks. I want to stay near the telephone, you know, just in case. But you go, David.
No, not in your life. I'll stay here with you.
Well then, good night, dear. Try to have a happy New Year.
Yes, yes.
Happy New Year.
Very happy New Year, Selma.
Good night, David.
David, good night.
Come, we'll say goodbye to the family.
It will be a pleasure.
Look what I found.
David has champagne.
Iced and everything.
Don't you stay here, David. You go out and have some fun.
No, don't be silly. We can have fun right here.
Oh, what's the matter with me anyway? Why haven't I any pride? Why can't I face it? Robert doesn't give a hang about me. You can't indefinitely go on caring for somebody who doesn't care for you, can you?
Well, it's been done.
Oh, David, I'm so sorry. I've been such a fool. You really ought to hate me for what I've done to you.
Oh, now, don't talk like that. Now, look, you get the glasses, and I'll try to open this
thing. No. We're going out. This is a new year, the time for resolutions. Well, I'm through with Robert. I mean it. I'm going to get my things. We're going to celebrate. We'll start the new year, right? What is it, Henry? The telephone, has it...
No, madame, it's Mrs. Forrest. She would like you to join her in the drawing room.
All right, Henry.
Henry leaves. David steps close to Selma.
Guess it's no use. Please go, David.
Oh, no, Selma.
Oh, I'd rather you did, really. I'll go to bed. Dr. Cammer's given me something to make me sleep.
All right, I'll go.
Outside.
Good night, Henry.
Good night. Good night.
Darling. You will try to find Robert, won't you?
I didn't lose him.
It'll get you in right with Aunt Catherine.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Oh, Nick.
Huh?
Oh, David, what happened?
Well, Selma sent me away. She wouldn't be alone.
Oh, I could murder that Robert.
Yeah, well, wait till I tell you about the newest thing he pulled on me. Called me up several days ago and told me if I gave him $25,000, he'd clear out and leave Selma for me.
Lovely boy.
What did you say?
Well, I didn't know exactly what to say. I asked him to give me several days to think it over.
Well, $25,000 is cheap if you'll really go.
Well, why don't you get up a collection? I know a lot of people would be glad to contribute.
Poor girl. Bad enough with Aunt Catherine and Robert. Now she's got that Dr. Cammer.
Who's Dr. Cammer?
Oh, I don't know. He's some nut psychologist. Sits around and talks about her dreams by the hour. I get the creeps every time I look at her.
Harold, we want to go someplace and get the taste of respectability out of our mouths.
Okay, Nick.
Well, I don't think I can go.
Oh, David, why not?
Well, I've got too much on my mind, I guess. I'm glad you're back, anyway. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
to you, David.
Selma was a fool not to have married him instead of Robert.
No, they can't all be as lucky as you are, darling. Well, what have you got to offer, Harold?
There's Tim McCrum's place, and there's the lychee, and there's the tin dipper.
Is the lychee a Chinese restaurant?
Yes, sir.
Me no looky for Robert.
The lychee.
The lychee.
At the lychee, an oriental lantern hangs from the ceiling. People are at tables and a woman's on stage.
Father Time is marching on. Edith hand a big baton. He's marching to the rhythm of the band. Father needs a hot cornet to send him on his way. So get your trumpet and give Pa a helping hand. Blow in the new year,
all your troubles out in the cold. I'll give you a cue. See what you can do and blow that horn.
Those horns. People catch them. The senior dances with a chorus line of women. Behind them, a small band is playing live music. In the audience, a handsome man applauds as a waiter brings a drink to his table. On stage, the chorus line moves to the back of the stage, and the singer begins tap dancing at the front near the audience. Wearing a short skirt designed with musical notes and staff, she dances her way to the back of the stage near the chorus line. They kneel and continue singing as she spins and dances enthusiastically. She moves to the edge of the stage and holds her arms out wide. Bows deeply and waves to the crowd with a wide smile. As she hurries through the audience, the man grabs her wrist, pulling her toward his table.
Not now, baby. I gotta make a change. I'll be right back.
Oh, make it snappy, then.
Waiter, bring Mr. Landis another drink.
Robert Landis, the handsome man, watches as she leaves. Nearby, a solemn-faced man with dark hair and a mustache meets the singer at a curtained doorway.
Dancer.
Hey, what's the idea? You better not leave that guy.
Oh, these shoes are murdering me.
They don't belong. You might get restless.
Say, I'm getting pretty fed up with him.
Just be a little tomorrow, then you can turn him loose.
Yeah? Tomorrow's a holiday. The banks will be closed.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the day after, what's the difference? Is it worth it?
He pulls her toward him.
Come on, make it snappy. I'll keep an eye on you.
She walks away.
Holly! Holly!
Sorry, Sonny, I'm busy.
Got a message for you.
Well, what is it?
Your brother's looking for you.
Well, let him look.
Polly goes into her dressing room. A man standing behind her door.
So that's the way it is, eh?
Now, Phil, don't try to start anything. I'm in a hurry.
You've been in a hurry ever since I got back.
Well, can I help it if I got a word?
That ain't what I'm kicking about. What's going on with this drunk?
Nothing.
Oh, no? What's this?
Say, give me that. Say, what are you trying to do? Drive me nuts?
Shut up or I'll smack you right in the teeth.
Phil grabs her by the hair.
I'm in on that, you know.
Now, Phil, after all...
If you don't cut me in, the party's off.
I can't cut you in.
It's yours, ain't it?
Yeah, but...
But what? But what?
Now, listen, Phil, don't spoil my makeup. I got another number to do. Oh,
so that's the way it is, eh?
He slaps her in the face.
You big lug! Now, how am I going to explain that?
There are a lot of things you'll have to explain before I'm through with you.
Phil! Phil!
Phil leaves. Dancer approaches him, takes him by the arm, and leads him through the New Year's Eve crowd. Dancer pulls Phil to a stop at the top of some stairs.
What are you doing? Shaking her down again?
What's that to you?
Why don't you lay off her for a while? She's busy.
I know.
What do you know?
A few things that are going on around here.
Dancer grabs Phil's tie and looks around.
Smart boy, huh? You know things. When are you going to start shaking me down?
When I want to shake you down, I'll...
Dancer slaps him.
I put up with you because you're Polly's brother. But don't think you can ride too far on that ticket. Now stay away for a couple of days.
Dancer pushes Phil down the stairs and he lands at Nick's feet.
My, what big confetti they throw here.
Nick helps him up.
Get out of the way, you big clown.
Phil leaves.
Well, that's more like it.
Too bad you didn't bring Aunt Catherine.
Oh, Mr. Charles, how are you?
Hello, Dancer.
Neat way you have of tossing your customers out.
Well, his sister works here. I just get tired of him sometimes.
I felt a gun under his left arm.
Just bringing it in for a friend.
Oh,
I want you to meet my partner. This is Lumpkey, Mr. Charles.
And Mrs. Charles.
I'm your friend. You bet you.
You sent his brother up, remember? Lum Young?
Oh, yes, yes. He was the one who spread out some tong differences to include a bank stick-up.
You bet you. You catch my brother. You play trick on him.
No play trick on him? No catch him. You bet you. Is he still in?
You bet you. 4 or 5 years more. Oh. Excuse, please.
Lumpkey leaves.
Is he a gunman, too?
No, but you never can tell how close brothers are. Thought you might like to know.
Thanks.
He's a great guy to have liking you.
This way, Mr. Charles.
Oh, Mr. Charles.
Nick gives the hat check girl his coat and hat.
Many customers tonight?
Oh, yes. We always do a pretty good business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me.
Dancer leads them through the crowd. Nora looks across the room and stops.
Oh, Nicky, there's Robert.
Yes, I know.
Why didn't you tell me? Robert?
Oh, but...
She walks away. Dancer looks back at them.
Why, Robert, where have you been?
Well, fancy meeting you here.
Why haven't you sent any word to Selma? She's almost crazy with worry.
She ought to know better by now. Well, Nicholas.
Oh, how's it coming?
Fine, up till now. Sorry, I can't ask you to sit down.
Oh, that's all right. I'll ask her. Nora, won't you sit down?
Nora sits at the table.
So, she sent the great big detective to find me.
I have a table for you across the room, Mr. Charles. I think you'll be more comfortable there.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
I'll be over in just a minute, thanks.
Why don't you call Selma and tell her you're all right?
Well, don't exaggerate. Just call her.
Well, you can tell her when you go back to report on me. Tell her I'm having a swell time, and I'm not going back unless I have to. And I don't think I'll have to.
I'll be delighted to tell her that. Well, you'll forgive us if we tear ourselves away. Dancer seems a bit anxious.
Nick blows a horn and leaves with Nora.
Hello, handsomes.
A drunk woman turns to Nick. Dancer seats Nick and Nora at a table next to her.
Is he a friend of yours?
On the contrary, a relation.
He's been hanging around here for 3 days, drunk. Got a case on our prima donna.
I wish you'd toss him out. His wife's going crazy.
Well, it's too bad. I'll speak to his girlfriend.
Dancer leaves.
Well, I've done my duty.
I wonder what's up.
Up where?
Up there.
Where?
There. And it comes out here.
The waiter's standing behind Nick with a tray of drinks. Still holding the horn, Nick reaches back for one and gives it to Nora. He takes a second for himself and takes a sip.
Ah, scotch. Probably.
With Dancer and Polly.
Some of his relatives just flew in.
Well, what'll we do?
Give the customers one more song and knock off for the night. Take them up to your place and keep them.
Okay.
With Nick and Nora.
Nicky, what time is it?
It's 25 to 12. And our first New Year's alone.
Hello, Nick.
Maybe I was wrong.
Oh, hello, Joe.
Hello. Excuse me, lady. Say, Nick, Willie the Weeper's outside, see?
Oh, when did he get out?
He got out this morning, see, and he's on parole, see? And according to rules and regulations, he ought to be mingling with some respectable people, see? I thought you had a nice table here, see? Maybe,
Oh, by all means.
Oh, that's fine. You're a gent. Hey, boys!
Joe bumps into Dancer.
Everything all right, Mr. Charles?
Everything's all something.
You needn't worry about Mr. Landis. Polly's going to see he gets home for him.
Wait. There's no check for the stable. Anything they want is on the house.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I can't let you do that, see?
Oh, but I insist. You're my guests.
Come on, boys. This will mean a lot to Willie, see? New Year's Eve and everything, see?
Well, all right, Dancer. If you insist, it's mighty white of you. Meet the rest of my party.
Aye. Aye.
Gentlemen, be seated.
This is Willie. You remember Willie.
Well, how are you? Glad to see you, Willie.
Likewise.
I'm honored to be at your coming out party. Nora, this is Willie the Weeper.
Delighted.
Likewise.
And the boys. Do you boys know Dancer?
I don't want to know him.
Oh, he's a crumb.
Oh, don't say that, boys. He's giving the party. Everything's on the house.
Yeah? That right?
Well, that's different. Why didn't you say so?
Drinks and everything?
Sure.
Champagne, boys.
Me too.
Sure, champagne. Willie?
Scotch. With a champagne chaser.
Likewise.
At Robert's table.
Well, what do you say?
Wouldn't take much to make me leave this town for good.
We have a lot of fun on $25,000.
What's the use talking about that? You haven't got it yet.
Don't worry, I'll get it.
When did he say he'd let you know?
Tomorrow.
Here's my number. I gotta go on. Listen, go and call him now. Don't let anybody hear you. If he says he'll give it to you tonight, I'll blow with you right away.
On stage.
We got time for one more song, folks, before the new year.
Miss Polly Burns will sing a new number for you. Smoke Dream.
Dancer hands Polly the mic.
Where's he gone?
Getting his hat and coat. Oh, say, get me mine, will you?
Next table.
Boy, you certainly can pick him. I never seen such a guy. Every time I meet him, he's got another good-looking gal.
We haven't met for years.
No.
When he gives you the sack, let me know, will you?
I certainly will.
He's hot-looking, ain't she?
Shut up, you look, it's his wife.
See?
Meanwhile...
Well, have you made up your mind?
All right, I'll give you the money. Well, tonight? Well, I can't give it to you tonight. Well, I have some bonds that I would... Well, of course they're negotiable. Now, wait a minute, just a minute. Now, that's a lot of money. How do I know you keep your promise? How do I know you really stay away? And even if Selma does decide to get a divorce, how do I know you won't fight it?
All right, forget about it. I'll go on home. Selma will be tickled to death to see me.
Robert talks with David.
I'm at the Lychee Club. All right, I'll meet you there in a couple of minutes. Don't keep me waiting, though. I might change my mind.
Smoke dream. Just smoke.
The middle makes table applaud and cheer. Polly smiles and bows. People get up from the tables and move to the dance floor. Polly hurries to Dancer for her coat, and he helps her put it on.
You know, it's all to the good, them seeing him here plastered. But we can't take a chance on them tipping off his wife and having her bang him. Make it snappy.
Okay.
She leaves. The minute next table, yell at Dancer.
See? We come here and spend all this doing. What does she do? She sings one song and quits.
Now, boy, she had to run along.
Thanks.
Glad to be of service.
Well, that's what you come here to see. Like
do you think she'll really take him home?
She'll take him somewhere, I'm sure of that.
What do you mean?
I mean, did I ever tell you that you're the most fascinating woman this side of the Rockies?
Well, you see me on the other side.
Outside, Robert and Polly leave.
And I said to him, you ain't gonna give me a ticket, you big flatfoot, and you know what I said. I said, I got a right to turn there, and you know what I said. I said, I ain't got all night to be sitting here gassing, so go polish your buttons and leave me be on my way, you fat palooka, I said.
I know, and then you busted out trying.
Harold sees Phil follow them through the fog. Later, Robert and Polly are with David. Robert has the bonds.
All right. Thank you, Sir Galahad.
You'll keep your promise?
You don't mind if I go home for 10 minutes?
What for?
Oh, don't worry. I won't see your precious Selma. I just want to get some clothes. 10 minutes shouldn't matter to a man who's waited as long as you have. Well, ta-ta.
Robert and Polly leave, and David gets into his Jaguar. Phil watches through the fog. At the Lychee, Nora speaks to Nick, and he leans close to her.
I'm worried.
He frowns and cups his hand to his ear.
I don't care whose wife she is. I don't like a dame that gets noisy after she's had a few snifters.
Don't you think I'm better?
All right, but hurry. It's almost 12.
I'll be right back.
Dancer overhears the conversation and hurries to the hat check girl. He puts coins in her hand.
Here, get on that phone and stay on it. Hurry.
Dancer goes into the office. The girl pushes Nora aside to get to a payphone. She closes the phone booth door and puts the coins in.
That, huh?
With Dancer.
Never mind, they don't answer.
Lumpy's eating at the desk.
I told her to take him straight to her place.
Mr. Landis?
Yeah. I wanted her to get him in shape so he could go home.
Mr. Landis on phone. I hear him say he go home.
Oh, he did, huh? Good.
He's a relative of Mr. Charles.
Lumpke hesitates and continues eating.
I felt sort of responsible. I think I'll go out and get some fresh air in one of my lungs.
Dancer gets his coat and hat.
Back in a minute.
He pats Lumpke on the back and leaves. Lumpke slowly turns his head to watch and then puts down his chopsticks. He gets his coat and hat from a coat rack and follows. Meanwhile, Selma is asleep in her bed. She slowly opens her eyes and sees Robert across the room with a piece of jewelry. She turns on the light.
Robert!
Hello, Selma. How are you?
Where have you been? Oh, why do you do these things? I've been going crazy.
There, darling.
He hugs her.
No, I won't this time. I won't forgive you. You're not going to make a fool of me again.
All right, darling. I only came for a moment to get some clothes.
Where are you going?
A little trip.
No, you're not. I won't have it. I won't.
She slings back her covers, gets out of bed, and stands in front of the door. He walks to her carrying a suitcase and grabs her arm, forcing her away from the door.
Want to kiss me goodbye, darling?
He kisses her.
Thank you.
He leaves. Still wearing her nightgown, Selma hurries across the room to a closet and puts on a coat with a fur collar. She opens a dresser drawer, gets a handgun, and puts it in her coat pocket. Meanwhile, Robert leaves the house and turns up the collar of his coat. Polly watches from the foggy shadows. Nearby, Phil is watching, his hand thrust into the front of his coat. Dancer's in his car, and Lumpke's being driven down a street by another man. Robert walks down the front steps. Polly watches, and Phil looks on while Dancer and Lumpke travel in their cars. Selma hurries from the house, drawing her coat around her. Robert's walking along a sidewalk. He winces, slumps against a wall, and falls to the ground. A shadow passes across him as Selma steps up to his crumpled body. She looks down at him with the gun in her hand and takes a few steps forward. David arrives and hurries to her from his car.
Selma, what's happened?
He was going away and I tried to stop him.
He takes the gun from her hand.
Now, Selma, listen to me. Now, listen. I want you to go back to the house. You've never had a pistol, you understand? Hear me? You've never been out of the house tonight. You don't know anything about this. Understand?
She nods.
Now, come on, hurry.
He guides her away and gets back in his car carrying Selma's gun. At the Lychee, a flashing sign above the stage reads, Happy New Year. People are wearing party hats and streamers are dropping from the ceiling onto the levelers. At a table, a man has a woman in an embrace and is kissing her. Party streamers are tangled around them and drape off the man's shoulders. They part. It's Nick kissing the drunk woman.
Happy New Year! Happy New Year, everybody! Happy New Year,
He sees the woman.
Oh, excuse me. Well, I guess there must be some mistake.
Oh, no!
In the dark, and my wife said she'd be right back. Of course, I suppose would be.
The man sits beside Nick.
Excuse me? Happy New Year! Happy New Year to you, too.
Nick leaves and crosses the room.
Nora, darling, sugar, Happy New Year!
Nicky, you're bleeding.
She wipes his mouth.
Yes, oh, dear. Yes, a little accident.
I know, this New Year's traffic is terrible, isn't
it? Yes, you made any New Year's resolutions?
Not yet. Any complaints or suggestions?
Few.
Which?
Complaints.
All right, shoot.
Well, you don't scold. You don't nag, and you look far too pretty in the mornings.
Well, I'll remember. Must scold, must nag, mustn't be too pretty in the mornings.
He kisses her, and she smiles.
Happy New Year, baby. Say, what are you doing here, anyway?
Still trying to call Selma?
Well, come on, I'll find your phone.
The hat check girl is still on the phone, so he leads Nora to Dancer's office, and they go inside. Dancer comes up the stairs, removes his coat, and goes into his office. He finds Nick at his desk on the phone. Nora's seated across from him.
short answer.
Come in, come in.
Once a gum heel, always a gum heel, huh? Well, I don't like gum heels. But I thought you'd quit it when you married a pot of money.
Did he call me a pot?
You know, I don't like to be critical, Dancer, but, you know, it doesn't look quite right when you and your partner and your prima donna and your best customer all go out at the same time. It gives the place a sort of vacant look.
Have you ever been thrown out of a place, Mr. Charles?
Let's see. How many was it up to yesterday, Mrs. Charles?
Well, how many places have you been in, Mr. Charles?
Hello, Aunt Catherine? Well, this is Nick. I mean, Nicholas. What? Oh. Yes, I will.
Well, now, if you're through in here...
Polly. Another of our travelers has returned. I've only...
Lumpy enters.
No sooner said than done. Quite a gathering of the clams. I wonder which one of you would be more surprised if Robert Landis were to walk in here right now. Of course, you know that that couldn't happen. Don't you, Dancer?
I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't care. Now get out of here.
What is it, Nick?
Robert's been killed.
Killed?
Get out of here.
Oh, no. On the contrary, we're going to have a lot more people in.
Give me that phone.
Certainly.
See?
You better go to Selma, Nora. They need you. Hello, this is Nick Charles speaking. I want to get hold of Lieutenant Abrams of the Homicide Squad.
Why are you calling him? It's a cinch none of us shot Landis.
Maybe to explain how you knew he was shot.
Meanwhile, David pulls his car to a stop and gets out on the passenger side. He reaches into his pocket for the handgun and tosses it over a railing. At Aunt Catherine's.
How did Mrs. Landis and the husband get on together? Any fights? Any arguments?
A detective taps the old butler who falls.
No, sir.
Mr. Abrahams! How dare you question my service?
Lady, a man's been killed. I gotta find out who did it.
Surely you don't think...
How do I know what to think if nobody will tell me anything?
The lieutenant looks at Henry, who totters backward again. The staff helps hold him up.
Did you hear anyone leave the house after Mr. Landis left?
Certainly not.
Will you please let him talk?
Mr. Abrahams.
My name is Lieutenant Abrams. Well?
No, sir.
All right, I'll see you all later.
Obviously just a holdup.
A holdup? With that bracelet and those bonds left on him?
Henry, will you show Lieutenant Abrahamson out?
Lady, I'm not going till I see Mrs. Landis. Now, look, I can't help it if you don't like me. I'm just doing my duty.
I tell you, Mrs. Landis cannot see anyone. She's under the care of a doctor.
What's the doctor's name?
Dr. Kammer.
Dr. Adolf Kammer?
Yes.
Oh, so that's the way it is.
Precisely.
Kammer comes down the stairs.
Sorry to inconvenience you, Lieutenant Abrams.
Okay, Doc. Then you're willing to take the responsibility of not letting me talk to her?
My dear sir, it's not a question of responsibility. Mrs. Landis has had a very great shock. It was necessary to give her something to quiet her nerves. Did she talk to you in her sleep?
When she be awake?
Not for some hours.
You often have to give Mrs. Landis things to quiet her? Okay, Doc, check that off. Then is she crazy?
You're insulting.
Lady, I've seen this guy 3 times in my life. And all 3 times he was on a witness stand testifying that someone was nuts. First it was that Mrs. Jarris. Then the Darrell woman. And, by golly, she shot her husband, too.
Two? What right have you to say a thing like that?
Selma listens.
In view of that very definite accusation, I think, Miss Forrest, that you should insist that your attorney is present at any future interviews with the police.
Anybody's tongue is liable to slip.
Nora enters.
Oh, Lieutenant Akers. Hurry. Nick's waiting for you down at the Lychee Club. He's got them all down there.
What happened?
I don't know. He knows. He'll tell you everything.
I hope somebody can tell me something.
Where's Selma?
She's sleeping. She's not to be disturbed.
I won't disturb her, but I'm going to be there when she wakes up.
She hurries upstairs. Aunt Catherine turns to the doctor.
Well?
I don't think that as yet there is any reason for alarm.
Nora approaches a door, knocks, and goes inside.
Selma.
When she closes the door, she finds Selma cowering behind it.
Selma.
They're going to arrest me. They're going to arrest me, aren't they?
No, of course they're not, dear.
They all believe I did it. Aunt Catherine, the doctor, all of them.
No, Selma, they don't think that at all.
I heard them, I know.
Now, darling.
But I didn't kill him. I didn't.
Selma's expression goes blank.
I'm sure I didn't.
Nora looks at her cousin with concern.
You'll help me, won't you, Nora?
Why, of course, darling. But you'd better lie down now and get some rest.
They gave me some pills, but I didn't take them.
You should have, dear. You need to sleep.
No, I can't. I got to think. David.
What about David?
He thinks so, too. He must think so, or he wouldn't have...
He wouldn't have what?
Nothing. Oh, you tell him I didn't. Tell him I didn't do it.
Well, darling, couldn't you telephone?
No. Someone might be listening. No, you go to him. Tell him I didn't do it. Hurry.
All right, Selma, I will.
Selma shoves Nora into the hallway. Nora starts down the stairs, then walks to another door and opens it. She looks down the stairs and leaves. Outside, she walks into the foggy darkness. A man watches from behind a pillared wall and follows her. Meanwhile, David is listening to the news at his home.
This is your news reporter speaking. The old year was heartily out when death struck savagely in the slaying of Robert Landis, wealthy young society playboy. Mystery surrounds the shooting.
He turns off the news and stands.
It's I, Nora.
He opens the door.
Well, hello, Nora. This is a surprise. Nick with you?
She walks into his living room and he follows.
What's the matter?
Oh, just let me sit down. Don't you know what's happened?
No, what?
Well, first, Robert was killed.
He was killed?
Yes.
Phil looks in the window.
We saw him at the... David, look!
Phil runs.
That's the brother of the girl who was with Robert. Don't let him get away. He might know something.
I'll get him as he comes out the alley.
Nora leans out the window, and David rushes to open the front door.
Not so fast, buddy. Mr. Law speaking. Get inside there. Who you got in there with you?
It's the police.
Hey, you. Just a minute. Get out of that window. What are you trying to do? Make a getaway?
I'm not trying to make a getaway. There was someone on the fire escape.
Where is he?
He's gone now.
All right, then. Come on. Let's get going.
Now, look, officer. This lady is...
I know all about this lady. I've been trailing her ever since she left the forest house. Come on. Let's get together here. Come on.
Where are we going?
We're going to headquarters.
Oh, there must be some mistake. I'm Mrs. Nick Charles.
Yeah, and I'm Mother Goose. Step on it, girlie. Let's go.
At the lychee.
Now, listen. I've been trying to tell you for the last half hour. None of us had anything to...
Shut up, Dancer. I want more of your chow, I'll ask for it. Let her talk. Now go on.
I took him home like Dancer told me.
Did you hear a shot?
Well, I heard something like backfire from an automobile. It was foggy and, well, I was too far away to see anything. I thought I'd better get out of the neighborhood if I didn't want to get into trouble.
Phooey. Why don't you ask her what she was too far away from?
From wherever it was it happened. If I hadn't been too far away, I would have known what it was. Would I?
Well, I...
Nick opens his eyes wide and blinks hard.
I give up.
All right, Dancer. Where were you?
I went out to get some air. What city ordinance does that break?
I went with him.
Where did you go for all this air?
Air pretty much same everywhere. We go in my car, ride around, as chauffeur.
Riding around, eh? New Year's Eve, the place is jammed, and you two are riding around. Phooey!
Where do you
listen to me?
Wait.
You don't know who I am. Listen, I came here to see a client. Wait. This is very important business. Now you listen to me. You can't do this to me.
Hey, lay him down. Hello, Casper. He's our lawyer.
I knew there'd be some shyster around.
Well, what is this?
Do I know? So a guy comes in and buys a drink. He goes out and somebody kills him. What are we supposed to do? Give the customers insurance with the drinks?
Not a bad idea.
I didn't recognize you, Mr. Childs. Remember me? Floyd Casper.
Oh, yes. How are you?
Nick ignores Casper's outstretched hand and reaches for a cigarette case.
Always kidding. Why, Abrams, you don't think that these people would have anything to do with a thing like that? Why, I've known this lad since...
Save that for the DA. You got a gun?
Sure. And a permit.
You?
If you want to take those, we'd like a receipt.
Tell that shyster of yours to shut up or I'll drag you down to the Hall of Justice.
On what charges?
Witnesses to ask him questions. You ought to know your clients spend 9/10 of their time doing it. Take these down and check them with the bullet that killed Landis. Hold it a minute. You got a gun?
No.
What'd you do with it?
I never had one.
Nobody has anything. Nobody knows anything. All right, go ahead.
Miss Burns has a brother who has a gun. And my chauffeur tells me that he hung around outside until just about the time she and Landis left.
If he was there, he was just hanging around waiting for me. He wouldn't kill Robert, Mr. Charles. He wouldn't have no reason.
I'm not accusing anyone. I'm just talking. But I think you ought to find him. At least he might give his version as to why Dancer threw him out.
If that little rat tries to hang anything on me, I'll...
You leave my brother out of this.
Take it easy. That's what they want. They want to get you at each other's throats. Just answer what you want to, and don't let them get you.
I can't stand that shyster.
I was beginning to suspect that.
Did you call me Nick?
No, not yet, Harold. You ought to stick around. Outside. It's very close in here.
Where is this brother of yours that didn't kill anyone?
He lives in a hotel on Turk Street. I don't know just where.
You don't know much of anything, do you?
Well, I honestly don't know which hotel. Phil's always moving.
What's the matter? Does he have to move every time he don't kill someone?
Don't be so funny. You got me in stitches.
Dancer flips a breaker switch and the lights go out.
Oh, stay where you are, everybody. Oh. Get that switch. Ow. I'll get
him, Nick. Nick is drinking under the desk. He reaches up for the phone and answers it.
Hello? Hello? Oh, hello? What? Can't hear you. So much noise going on around here. What? Oh, headquarters. Well, this is Nick Charles speaking. Hey. Take it easy, Goldie Potters. I can't hear a thing here. Look, the dancer just got away. Yeah. Tell the boys pick him up, will you?
It's all right, Nick. I got him.
Wait a minute. My chauffeur thinks he's got him.
Harold has Abrams by the leg.
Joe got stolen.
No. No, it's Abrams he's got. Well, you better let him up. He may not like that.
Say, what's the idea?
Take it easy, lady.
Let go of me, will you?
A detective releases Polly. Abrams gets off the floor, and a policeman helps Lumpke and Casper to their feet. Abrams looks at Harold.
What do you think you're doing? The lights went out. Do you want me to stand out there while Nick might be in trouble? What with the shooting?
I guess it was me.
Did you get him?
I thought it was him coming through the door, but I guess it was only me in that mirror.
I want to have a description of that brother of yours.
What are you picking on Phil for? What about Mrs. Landis killing him? Maybe she found out we was going away together. Maybe she found out about that Graham giving him the bonds.
Don't talk till you get legal advice.
You're their lawyer, not mine. How do I know you won't leave me holding the bag?
Now, we're getting somewhere. Pick up Mrs. Landis, doctor or no doctor. Come on, all of you. We're going on to headquarters.
You can't do that.
Nick's on the phone.
All it sounds like to me is that they picked up my wife in a man's apartment. Say it again.
That's it. That's what she says. I've never seen your wife myself.
Let me talk to her.
Graham. David Graham. Hold him. Okay.
Well, this is all crazy. That can't be Nick.
It's him, all right.
Tell him it's Nora.
She says to say it's Nora, Mr. Charles.
Nora? Nah, sounds like a phony to me. Better throw her in the fish tank like it down there.
Nick chuckles.
Right.
Well?
Throw her in the fish tank.
What? What?
Throw her in the fish tank.
Why, of all the...
At Phil's apartment, he pulls a gun and turns toward the door.
Will you open this door or will I kick it in?
Holding the gun behind his back, he unlocks the door. Dancer pushes his way in, hitting Phil in the head with the door. Dancer faces Phil, who still has the gun behind him.
What did I tell you about horning in on somebody else's game?
Phil backs away. Meanwhile, in jail, Nick and a policeman approach a barred doorway.
All right, matron.
The matron unlocks the door.
How do you do? I like it to gal out of the woman's tank.
Oh, yes.
Nick follows her.
Is this the one that was doing the fan dance?
Fan dance?
Yes.
Well, if it is, she's been holding out on me.
Hi there. Say, are you a lawyer?
Hey, Mr. Feinberg, say, you call my mother and tell her I'm sorry.
Keep quiet. Who are you looking for?
Well, I do.
Mr. Feinberg, bail us out of here. Do you see her?
Oh, I guess she isn't here.
Nicky, here I am. Excuse me.
What?
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait.
Excuse me.
This is a fine way to start the new year.
Nicky, get me out of here.
How long has this thing with David been going on?
Oh, stop that. Get me out of here. I've got something to tell you.
About the case?
Yes.
I'll get you out on one condition. No more detecting, no more cases. Promise?
But this is important.
Never mind.
Nick!
Well?
I promise.
All right. We're out.
Come on, Tim, girl.
The matron opens the cell. Still in their formal evening wear, Nick and Nora walk away.
Are you Miss Charles?
Yes.
Lieutenant Abrams wants you for questioning.
Questioning?
Yes. Don't worry, darling. I'll write you every day.
They join Abrams and David in the next room.
Were you and Landis on good terms?
Decidedly not.
On bad times?
Very bad.
You and Mrs. Landis were once engaged.
That's right.
Until Landis came along?
Yes, sir.
Ever ask her to divorce him and marry you?
I may have. She never said she would.
But you hoped she would, and you thought with him out of the way, she might.
Now, look, I didn't kill Robert.
Did I say you did? But you did pay him to go away.
Yes, yes, I did.
Let him in. Will you please sit down, Mrs. Charles? I have to ask your wife a couple of questions, Mrs. Charles. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's quite all right.
Now, Mrs. Charles, why did you go to Mr. Graham's apartment?
Why?
Well, perhaps I'd better leave.
Why, Selma had a silly idea that David thought she killed Robert, and she wanted me to go and tell him that she didn't.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I can't imagine her thinking a thing like that. Well, that's ridiculous. I haven't seen her for 2 days.
Will you come in, Mrs. Landis?
Oh, no. Selma, dear, sit down.
David, I didn't want you dragged into this.
Mrs. Landis, why did Mr. Graham think you killed...
No, I never said that, and I never thought it for a minute.
It's all right, David. He had every right to think I did it. He's just trying to protect me. He heard a shot. He came running up to me.
Just a minute. What were you doing there?
I wanted to make sure that he kept his promise to go away.
Okay, go on.
He rushed up to me and found me standing near Robert with a gun in my hand. But the shot came from around the corner, from in front of me.
You mean you didn't...
No. Look at the gun, David. It hasn't been fired.
He looks away from Selma.
Oh, Selma, forgive me.
It's all right, David. Of course I forgive you.
Well, that's all settled. Come on, Nora. Goodbye, Lieutenant. Goodbye, all.
Now, wait a minute. Maybe he believes you. He's in love with you. But I gotta have something more than that. Where's the gun? I've got to see that gun, Mrs. Landis.
I haven't got the gun. I gave it to David. David, where's... What is it, David?
Selma, I thought you were guilty. I thought I was doing the only thing. I threw the gun away.
You threw the gun away?
It's the craziest case.
But they can find it. I can tell them exactly where I threw it. I'll send divers down for it. Well, they've got to find it.
Ah, phooey. She don't want that gun back any more than you do. Swear out a warrant for the arrest of Mrs. Landis on the suspicion of murder.
Selma faints.
Get some whiskey.
Yes.
For both of us.
Later at the Charles home, Nick puts a note on the bedroom door reading, "Do not disturb."
That goes for you, too.
He puts Asta in the hall.
On.
He closes and locks the door. Nick stumbles wearily to Nora's twin bed and kisses her goodnight. He reaches up for an imagined ladder to climb into a bunk bed and then opens his eyes and chuckles before climbing into his twin bed. He takes the phone off the hook, turns out the light, and lays down. He puts the receiver in a drawer. He lays back down, and Nora stirs in her twin bed. She sits up and turns on the light.
say?
Hmm?
Did you say something about scrambled eggs?
No, darling. You must have been dreaming.
Are you hungry?
No. Why, you want some scrambled eggs, dear? Because I can fix them for you if you want them.
Oh, no, darling. I don't care for any.
Oh, sure?
Really?
Oh, well, good night, dear.
Good night.
He lays down with his back to her.
After all, if I want scrambled eggs, I can get them for myself.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I'm not as good a cook as you are.
Uh-huh.
Don't bother about me. You go right on sleeping, darling.
Uh-huh.
I love to watch you sleep. You look so cute. Nicky, have you any pictures of yourself taken as a baby?
No.
Oh. Oh, that's a shame. I want to see what you looked like.
I'll have some taken in the morning.
Poor Selma. Poor David. Nicky, can you reach the water? Can you reach the water?
Uh-huh.
He sits up, eyes closed, and hands her a container of water.
Oh, no, I don't want it. I just wanted to be sure you could reach it.
He gives her a hard look and puts the container on the floor.
Come on. I'll scramble those eggs.
Later, they enter the kitchen and Nick turns on the light.
Now, if you can manage the bread, I'll whip you up some scrambled eggs. It'll be a poem.
I'm so glad you're hungry, too.
Here, chase this. No. This. Go get it.
Nick tosses something for Asta.
Eggs. Milk. Butter. Well, what's the matter?
Oh, I'm thinking of poor Selma down in that jail.
Well, now don't worry, darling. Tomorrow they'll find the gun and it won't have been fired, and Selma will be set free.
Both. But you don't really think she did it?
Nope. Now, where's the salt?
Over there. You're not saying that just to make me happy, are you? You really mean it?
No.
No what?
No pepper.
Oh, it's there next to the salt.
Well, thanks.
Then what?
Yes, I mean it.
Of course, you're right. She didn't do it. She couldn't have done it. I don't think I'd kill you if you ran off with another woman.
Nora has a knife.
Well, that's something to look forward to.
I might, though.
You mind? Sugar?
Something's thrown through the window.
Hey! Don't forget to shut the gate.
Nick, what was it? Oh, it was a stone. Look, it's got a note tied to it.
Silly little woman, I told her to stop writing me.
Asta, drop that. Asta
picks it up and runs.
Asta, drop that. That's a clue.
He runs with it again.
Oh, he thinks we're playing. Nicky, come help me.
They chase him.
Look at him.
Huh? Where is he?
Over there.
Has he got the N-O-T-E?
Yes.
I don't pay any attention to him, just to be nonchalant. Da-da-da-da-dee.
They saunter toward Asta, hiding behind a small ledge. Nick glances over it, then ducks down to slowly peek around the upper ledge. Nick peeks around the bottom edge near the floor. With Nora standing behind Nick, he slowly grabs the top of the ledge and springs over it, grabbing at the dog. Asta runs up the stairs carrying the rock and note.
Asta!
Darling, let me discipline him. Asta! Come here, this minute. You hear me? This minute. Asta!
Asta runs down the stairs past them. Nora falls and Nick stops to help her.
Well, don't mind me. Get him.
Yes. Asta!
Nick and Nora stop in the living room and look around. Asta jumps up behind a couch. Nick motions to Nora and meanders toward the dog. Asta ducks behind the couch, and when Nick lunges for him, the dog runs.
Did you get it?
Got the rock.
Nick, he's eating it up.
Asta, here, look.
pretty rock. Get the pretty rock. Better boy. Asta, look. See the pretty rock? When he runs out for the rock, you grab the paper. Get it, Asta. Get the pretty rock. That's a good doggy.
Nick tosses the rock into a bowl of liquid and Asta chases it. Nick and Nora lunge for the note.
I have it.
Nora unfolds the note and reads it.
Mr. Charles, Phil Burns, alias Ralph West, is a ex-con and was married to Polly in Topeka 3 years ago. He lives...
Asta's pawing at the water for the rock.
What are we supposed to do? Send him an anniversary present?
Nicky, phone Abrams.
And I have him here keeping us up all night?
Well, don't you see? If Phil is her husband, then he shot Robert because he found out about him and Polly. Nicky, you must phone.
Just as you say.
Here, you.
She picks up Asta.
Bad Asta. You swallowed that address. How could you? I've been boasting about what a smart dog you do. As for that, you sleep outside.
She puts Asta outside, and the dog finds his way to Mrs. Asta's pen. The black Scottish Terrier is there. The black dog runs to the hole under the fence, and Asta chases him. Asta returns to a manual lawnmower near Mrs. Asta's pen, takes the handle in his mouth, and pushes the lawnmower to the fence. As Mrs. Asta watches, he uses the lawnmower to cover the hole under the fence. Nora locks her bedroom door. Nick is asleep with the Do Not Disturb sign on his chest. Nora slumps lightly and sits on her bed. She reaches for her pillow, brings it over her head, and throws it onto Nick's face. Over the image of newspaper presses, a headline reads, District Attorney Fails to Change Landis' Story. A newspaper boy breaks open a stack of papers stating widow is grilled in Landis killing. Others read, Detectives question singer and Mrs. Landis held in shooting. Scene shows Selma walking through a barred doorway, people crowded outside a building, a harbor police badge, and a diver going over the side of a boat. At the Hall of Justice, Aunt Catherine hits a photographer with her cane. At the Charles home...
I don't think Mr. Charles wishes to see anyone.
You just tell Mr. Charles I'm here, that's all.
The Charles's butler carries a tray into the bedroom.
Good morning, Peters. Mrs. Charles couldn't sleep, so I'm up.
Good morning, Peters.
Good evening, madam.
Good evening. Well, it's only 6:30.
Yes, sir.
Still dark.
It's dark again, sir. You slept right through the day.
Was it a nice day?
A dreadful day, madam. The reporters and the police were trying to get up here all day.
I guess we didn't miss a thing.
Oh, quick, the morning papers.
The morning papers not out yet, madam.
Not out yet?
These are the evening papers.
Oh.
They are?
Well, it doesn't seem right, the evening papers with breakfast.
If you hadn't waked me, we could have slept right through till morning, and then everything would have been all right.
Mr. Charles, One of those policemen outside the door right now. What shall I do about it?
Oh, show him in. He probably wants to question Mr. Charles again.
Doesn't say whether they found the gun.
Nora pets Asta.
Oh, I forgot I'm mad at you. Look at him prancing around with that clue in him. Oh, hello, Mr. Abrams.
Oh, good morning.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening. Do you have some breakfast?
Thanks, I just had dinner.
I give up.
Have they found the gun?
No.
Oh, Nick.
Think you're going to convict her if you don't find it?
Maybe I do and maybe I don't. It's what the...
Peter brings a chair.
It's what the DA thinks.
Oh, what about the other gun? Dancers and Lum Keys?
They're 38s, all right, like he was killed with. But the experts say they're not the guns that did it.
Oh. 50 would get you 250 that she didn't do it.
You'd have to say that, being your family. But that Lychee gang has got the best out in the world. They wouldn't have killed him till they cashed his check.
His check?
Oh, I forgot. You didn't hear about that.
No.
He gave Polly a check for $20,000 yesterday.
$20,000? Robert never had $20,000 in his life.
Yes, he did. I went to the bank to see about it. Here it is. His wife put this in his account just a couple of days ago.
Well, looks all right. Have you any of his checks?
I got all of his, and they're okay, too.
I just want the ones he gave to Polly.
Well, here's the first one for $75.
$75, that's better.
And here's the next one for
$100. Oh, $100. Going up, huh?
Nick holds the checks over a lamp. He puts one over the other, and the signatures are identical.
Perfect. Forgery. Let me have the big check.
Let me see. I've never seen a forged check.
He stacks the checks on top of each other. The third signature matches the others.
There you are. Honey, have your eggs.
Where's your phone?
It's all there on the table between the bed.
I can't see anything.
Mr. Charles, where's the rest of this phone?
In the drawer.
Hey, now, nice talk. Will you tell him I just want to use the phone? Now, behave yourself, will you?
Look out.
Well, I don't understand. The signatures look exactly alike to me.
No, that's just it.
That's just what?
Nobody writes this much the same twice. They traced these signatures from his first check.
Oh.
Ooh.
Hello. Hello, Joe. Joe. Go down and pick up that Polly Burns for me. Okay. Say, do you want this thing back in the drawer?
No, that's all right.
Asta faces Abrams.
Look, will you call this bloodhound off so I can get out of here?
Asta, come here. Don't you know Mr. Abrams is on our side? What's the matter with you on this case? You're losing your grip.
Get Dancer yet?
Yeah, he showed up as soon as it was light. Had a story about not wanting to be around when the shooting started. Him without his gun.
What about Phil? Found him?
No.
Somebody threw this through our window last night.
Where's the rest of it?
Asta ate it. Polly said it was a hotel on Turk Street.
That's right. Say, you want to give it a try with me?
Yes. If you give me a couple of minutes to dress.
Yes, you wait downstairs. We'll be right down.
Hey, wait a minute. Where do you get that wee stuff?
I'm coming with you.
Oh, not cured yet, huh?
Certainly not. Don't worry, darling. I won't be in the way.
Well, of course you won't, sugar. I just want to make sure.
Nick! Nick! You dog! Let me out!
Nick locks her in the next room. Later, Nick, Abrams, and two detectives get out of a car.
You stay here in case he tries to make a break.
One detective stands outside. Nick Abrams and the second detective go inside and approach a man at the desk reading a paper. Abrams shows his badge.
Is Phil Burns in?
We ain't got no Phil Burns.
Have you got a Ralph West?
Yep.
Is he in?
I don't know.
Any way of finding out?
Walk upstairs if you want, room 212.
Get on the back stairs.
The second detective leaves, and Nick follows Abrams up some stairs to the next floor. They go a short way down the hall and stop at one of the several doors. Abrams knocks.
Telegram for Mr. West?
Nick opens the door.
Off to you, my dear lieutenant.
Abrams pulls his gun and goes inside. Nick follows. Abrams stops when he sees Phil's body slumped off the bed onto the floor. Abrams puts the body back onto the bed and feels for a pulse.
Dead all right. Strangled. And beaten up some before the strangling set in.
Abrams reaches for Phil's clenched fist.
Someone's hair in his hand.
Put up. Her spectacles.
I'll have the boy's phone. We'll give this room a good case.
Here's another 38 for your experts to match up.
I guess the heater is his, all right. He's wearing an empty shoulder holster. And I guess this is the key to that Burns girl's apartment. It's got her number stamped on it.
Another good guess would be that Selma Landis didn't do this.
Fair enough, but he wasn't killed the way Landis was, either.
I'd like to know what your laboratory says about that hair and those cheetahs.
Okay, anything else in your mind?
Yes, that key. Could I borrow it for about an hour?
Sure.
How about your skeleton keys, just for good measure?
All right. Say, what are you looking for?
I haven't the faintest idea. Just a hunch.
Elsewhere.
This is straight from the feed bag. They just found Phil's body, strangled to death.
Say, that's tough. Polly's going to feel bad. Thanks.
Dancer hangs up from Casper's call and gets his hat and coat. He walks toward the door as Lumpke enters.
Polly in here?
No, police here, looking for her.
Well, Stoner, keep him here. I'm going up to her place. Be back in a minute.
Get out there!
They both leave. Elsewhere, Nick gets out of a cab and turns toward the driver.
Wait, brother, wait.
He leaves the cab at the curb and strolls up some steps to the door of an apartment building. He shines a flashlight on two rows of mailboxes. One is labeled with the name Polly Burns. He turns off his flashlight and uses a key to open the door. Nick goes inside and quietly closes the door behind him. He hesitates, looks around, and walks up a flight of stairs. His thin shadow casts a reflection on the wall as he takes out another key and stops at the first door on his right. He listens for a moment, then puts the key into the lock and opens the door. He pauses at the door before entering the dark apartment. He turns on the light and closes the door. Nick glances around the tidy apartment, looks at the fireplace, and walks casually to a curtain-draped window. He stoops to look outside and peers around the window area. He checks out the top of a desk and strolls toward a chest of drawers beside a bed. He opens a drawer and rifles through some clothing before opening the drawer above it. He looks through that drawer, opens a third, and absentmindedly pulls open a fourth. He stops, peering intently into the drawer, and takes out a small vanity case. He looks at it for a moment, opens it, then puts it into his pocket. He glances around nonchalantly and looks upward. In the ceiling above him, he sees a small hole. He stands directly under it and takes three long strides into the living area. He turns to his left and takes three long strides to the window. He glances back at the hole in the ceiling and hurries to the door. He turns off the light and leaves. He hurries down the hall to a stairway and walks up to the third floor. He walks to the first door on his right, noticing a roll of carpet leaned against the wall outside the door. The door plate above the bell reads, Anderson. Nick fingers a lock on the door, noticing a scraped area around its edge, and takes out some keys. He selects one and opens the door. He turns on the lights, goes inside, and closes the door behind him. He walks across the room and then, noticing something on the floor, moves toward the living area. Disconnected pipes are lying near the window. Nick glances around, then stands in front of the window and takes three long steps. He turns to his right and takes three long steps to the bedroom area. He kicks a rug out of the way, kneels, and opens a pocket knife. He slips the blade into a crack in the wood floor and lifts a panel out of the flooring. He finds earphones in a floor cavity, picks them up, and puts one into his ear. Meanwhile, Dancer comes up the steps to the second floor and unlocks Polly's apartment door. Nick hears him on the earphones upstairs. Dancer enters Polly's apartment and turns on the light. He walks to the dresser, opens the fourth drawer, and reaches inside. His eyes widen slightly, and he begins searching through the contents. Upstairs, Nick puts the earphones into the cavity and replaces the flooring. Downstairs, crumbling plaster bounces off Dancer's hat and he looks up in the hole in the ceiling. He closes the drawer and slides his hand toward his breast pocket. Upstairs, Nick straightens the throw rug that he kicked aside and walks toward the door. Downstairs, Dancer takes a few steps while staring at the small hole in the ceiling. He turns toward the door, opens it slowly, and steps out into the hall. Upstairs, Nick leaves the Anderson apartment and quietly closes the door. He walks to the stairway and looks down toward the second floor as Dancer goes to the second floor banister and looks up. When Nick starts down the third floor stairs, Dancer starts down the second floor stairs. Nick slowly descends the stairs, and Dancer peers up from the first floor. Nick hears him and looks over the second floor banister. Dancer opens a door, leaving it open, and hurries into a dark basement. As Nick hurries to the first floor, Dancer arrives at the bottom of the basement stairs and looks up toward the partially open door. Holding a gun in his hand, he hurries past boxes, trunks, and piles of items to a shadowy corner. Nick reaches the first floor and sees the open door. As he looks down the stairs, Dancer backs through a basement doorway. Nick glances around the first floor, takes a handgun from his pocket, and starts down the stairs. Dancer aims toward the stairs as Nick moves slowly down them. Nick kneels halfway down and looks around before walking down the steps to the basement floor. Dancer fires, hitting a wicker trunk in front of Nick. The trunk opens and a body falls out. Nick lowers the body to the basement floor and looks down at a man with white hair and handlebar mustache.
Say, what is this, bank night?
A newspaper headline reads, "New killing in Landis case."
Flash news bulletin. A body believed to be that of the janitor was found in a hamper in the basement of 346 Spite Street. Police link this murder with the Landis killing.
More extra paper. Read all about the big murder. Murder. Get an extra paper.
A headline reads, "Police seek murder man." Nora gets out of her car and walks toward Polly's apartment building. Inside, Abrams opens the front door and lets her in.
Sorry to have to ask you to come to a place like this, Mrs. Charles, but...
Is it Nick? Where is he? Is he hurt?
Oh, he's all right. He's upstairs. Now, what I asked you down for is we found a man's body here. He was a janitor of this building. Been dead about 24 hours. Shot near the phone there. Now, the telephone company tells us that about 7:30 last night, that'll be just before he was shot, someone here called up information and asked for Nick Charles's number. Now, Mr. Charles doesn't remember this Pedro Dominguez, and I thought perhaps you might be able
Pedro
to...
Pedro Dominguez? He was my father's gardener about 6 years ago. A small man with a mustache?
Yeah, that's the one. Hello? Just a minute. Call for you, Lieutenant. Would you mind going down and taking a look just to make sure?
Certainly not.
Would you take Mrs. Charles down, Bill?
Right.
Hello?
Well, those glasses you found in Phil Burns' place are nothing but window pane. The hair is false, and the gun is not the one that was used on Landis.
You're a great help. Did you find out about the fingerprints in his room? Dancers, eh? Well, that helps a little. No others? Okay. Oh. Get to work on this case, will you? And take a look at the bullet that killed this guy. Thanks.
Abrams enters the third floor apartment. He joins Nick, who is assembling the pipe.
Funny you didn't recognize this Pedro Dominguez.
Why? Does Nora know him?
Yeah, he used to be your father's gardener.
Oh.
Remember him now?
Who ever remembers a gardener unless he squirts a hose at you? Here, hold this on, will you?
What is it?
We'll see in a minute.
Think Mrs. Landis might know this Pedro?
She might.
And that Aunt Catherine?
Possible.
What do you think you're doing?
There it is. Hold it, will you?
Well, what do you know about that?
A ladder. Sure. And 50 will get you 250, but it just reaches down to Polly's apartment below. But this left over for good measure when he got there.
Well, that's fine.
Sure.
Abrams opens a window.
All right, this end first.
They feed the bottom of the flexible ladder through the window, and it stops at the second-story window below.
How about it?
You're right.
Yeah. Now, what'd you find out about the person who occupied this place?
Not a thing. Not a fingerprint in the room, not a stitch of clothes, nothing.
No. Anything in Pedro's books?
Oh, just someone named Anderson took it a week ago. Paid cash in advance.
That's all, huh?
Oh, there's a record of a new lock on the door. Bought it yesterday. Wait a minute. What does the card on the door say?
Well, that won't help you much.
Abrams goes to the hall to look at the nameplate.
No, just Anderson. No front name. No Mr., Mrs., or Miss.
Isn't that just dandy?
You know, I got a feeling if we could just find out who took this place...
took this.
You took what?
I took this picture. I found it in Pedro's apartment. I wanted to show it to you. You see, he was our gardener. These are the servants we had down at Father's place. There's Pedro and Rose... And there's Annie.
Oh, yes, darling, that's just fine. And I'm sure that Lieutenant Abrams will be very grateful.
What do you think we ought to do?
Bring them all up here, everybody that's mixed up in the case. Let's shake them all up and see what we get.
Say, you're on.
Abrams leaves.
Going to take him tonight?
We're going to try. Come on, let's get something to eat. I'm thirsty.
Well, how are you going to do it?
I haven't the faintest idea. I'm just going to look and listen and pray that somebody makes a slip. Just one slip.
Later, Selma hides her face as she's escorted to the apartment building. Inside, Nick and Nora are with Abrams as Selma enters.
You get them all?
They're coming.
Selma.
Take her upstairs.
Nora, what is it? What does this mean?
Darling, darling, don't worry. Nick will fix everything.
Nora and Selma go upstairs.
I wish I were as sure as she is. Figure out anything about the setup here?
A little.
What's your plan?
Build up a case against each of them. Throw everything we got at them and throw it hard enough to bounce.
I'll make it bounce, all right.
David enters.
Yeah, wait a minute. All right, let him in.
Well, what is it, Nick? Have they found the gun?
Not yet.
Selma's upstairs.
Oh, she is? No talking now.
All right, I'll go up with him.
Outside, Polly shows her leg to photographers. Dancer and Lumpy are behind her, and they all go inside. Upstairs, David and Nick enter the apartment and join Selma, Nora, and a detective.
Oh, so...
David!
Now, none of that, none of that. No, no siree. Tom, what about a few more chairs? I'll keep my eye on them, huh?
Sure, Mr. Charles.
Tom leaves and Nick turns to Nora.
Busy, buddy.
Thank you, Nick.
Outside.
This is outrageous, bringing us to a place like this.
What? And Catherine hits photographers with her cane. She goes inside with the doctor. Upstairs in a hallway, Nick opens the door for Tom, who's bringing chairs.
Break? Oh, that's fine.
Well, they're all here. Miss Forrest just came.
Good.
You didn't ask Aunt Catherine.
Oh, I thought we'd better return our hospitality, dear. We ordered something after last night.
I'm going to get myself a box seat.
Now, don't get so fresh. Take your hands off.
All right, sister. I just wanted to see if you had a gun.
That's a new name for it. Just wait till you boys ask me to do another benefit for you.
All right, inside.
Polly looks at Nick.
Say, is that Mrs. Landis?
Yes. Would you like to meet him?
No, thanks. I've had enough of that family.
Hiya, love.
I got rest and run. No time for this.
If you're worried about the place, I'll have it closed up for you.
Dancer, we almost ran into each other earlier this evening.
That's so. Too bad I missed you.
Oh, then it was you. Thanks. I wasn't sure.
Dancer makes a spinning sound through his teeth and goes into the apartment. Nick and Abrams follow. Abrams faces Dancer. Dancer turns away and walks to Lumpke.
Where's Casper?
His phone's out of order.
Why don't you send a messenger? What's the matter with you?
Shut up, you. Cut out the chatter.
Well, Nicholas, I might have known that you were at the bottom of this.
Come right in, Aunt Catherine.
How much more of this nonsense have I got to endure?
We hope that this will be the last.
Yes, Aunt Catherine, sit over here.
Yes. This must be Dr. Kama. I've heard so much about you from David. Won't you come in and sit down? Just find a chair.
I asked you all down here because we found another murder had been committed here. He's a man I think you all know. Pedro Dominguez.
Pedro killed?
Yeah, don't you read the papers?
I was in the jug.
What do you know about him?
Nothing. I only saw him a couple of times when I went to pay my rent.
What about you? You're in and out of here. You must have known him.
Sure I know him. So what?
And you?
I've never been in this house before. You?
I have nothing to do with it. I'm here to attend Mrs. Landis.
You're here to answer questions that you know.
No.
You knew him, Mrs. Landis.
I knew him? Yes, you remember him, Selma. He used to be our gardener at Ross. David, you remember him.
What, was he the man with the long white mustache?
Yeah, what did you know about him?
Well, nothing. That was 6 years ago. I haven't seen him since.
What about you?
I can't see what possible connection this can have with us.
You don't, eh? Well, I'll tell you. Pedro and Robert Landis were both shot with the same gun. Now, there was some monkey business going on down here that we want to find out about. You tell him, Mr. Charles.
Yes, with pleasure. It seems that 1 week ago, Pedro rented this apartment to someone calling himself or herself Anderson. Did you ever see this Anderson?
No.
Ever hear him up here above you?
No.
And I thought not. He was rather clever and ingenious, this Anderson. Always wore gloves, never left fingerprints. He intended, with the aid of this ladder, crawl down into your place some night and polish Robert off with this. Then he was going to climb back up here, unscrew the ladder, throw it out the window on a dump heap down below, then walk quietly out, leaving you hold the bag for Robert's murder. Now, do you know anyone who thinks enough of you to do that?
Why, no.
You're Dancer's girl, aren't you?
I work for him.
That's not what he asked you.
Well... We got an understanding.
Did Donson know that you were going away with Robert?
Why?
Go on, go on! You told us before.
You promised you'd keep that a secret. I'll never trust a cop again.
Now listen, if you've made the dicker with the cops, okay. But that ladder stuff is a lot of malarkey. No one did come down that ladder. And Landis wasn't killed in her place.
The only reason he wasn't killed in her place was that Anderson was found out. Pedro came in here yesterday to lay a new rug. He didn't like the looks of things, so he changed the lock on the door. When Anderson came in, he found that he was locked out. Then he heard Pedro telephoning me downstairs, and he shot him.
So what?
So, who is Anderson?
I'll bite who?
Polly, Phil had a key to your apartment, hadn't he?
Yeah.
And so had Dancer.
Yeah.
What about Lum?
No, of course not.
Anybody else?
Nobody. Say, what do you think I do, go around stuffing them under doors?
He's trying to hang this murder on us to protect his family. If the janitor didn't think everything was on the up and up, why don't he call the cops? Why does he call you? Because it's a family affair. She locked her husband off. Everyone knows that.
I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did. And then you got that lug to throw away your gun.
It doesn't
throw.
That's a lie.
Now, Mrs. Landis.
Mrs. Landis, you knew your husband and Polly were friends, didn't you?
No.
But you knew there was a woman.
Yes.
And you knew this Pedro.
Now, Lieutenant, suppose we take up this check business.
Wait a minute. Who's doing this, you or me?
Well, that certainly never has been my party.
Maybe this guy is right. How do I know? Were you ever in this room before?
No.
Abrams turns to Aunt Catherine.
What about you?
Why, of course not. What do you say?
I'll tell you what I think. She had this room and you know about it. You knew she was going to kill her husband and you had this Dr. Kammer here all ready for the nut alibi.
I attended Mrs. Landis just to make sure that she did not do anything desperate. Mrs. Landis's mind is not balanced.
Now, that isn't true. There's nothing the matter with her. It's you. You're trying to drive her crazy.
There's another mental case right there.
David lunges for Dr. Kammer and police try to pull them apart. Nick pulls Nora from the middle of the fight and leads her into the hall.
Darling, you have the nicest relative and friend.
Mr. Charles, yeah? Don't walk off and leave me with this bunch. I wouldn't have said what I had if I hadn't been a little bit punchy. This gang has got me nuts.
Oh, go on, Nicky. It's just getting good.
Atta girl.
All right, darling. Let me know when you've had enough.
Now take it easy. All right.
Well, suppose we all go about this thing quietly. Dancer? Oh, yes, there you are. You know that check of Robert's for $20,000 was a forgery.
So what's it to me?
It was traced for another check.
I still say, so what's it to me?
Just a minute, Lieutenant. We'll handle it differently. Sala, did you deposit that check for $20,000 to Robert's account a couple of days ago?
No. Oh, yes, you did, Selma. I remember you're telling me.
Did you, Selma?
Aunt Catherine glares at Selma.
Yes, I think perhaps I did. I must have.
You think that Robert forged her signature and you're trying to hush it up, aren't you? Aren't you?
No.
For years you've paid to hush up his scandals. Don't you see that that's just what they're counting on? Selma, is that the vanity case they sent you?
Yes.
And when you returned it, you sent a note along with it?
Yes.
Nick turns to Dancer.
You took a signature of that note, traced it on this check, and deposited it to Robert's account. Then you forged Robert's signature to the other checks and had Polly keep him busy until you cashed them.
And then I suppose I knock him off and stir up all this fuss before I get the dough. What kind of a stumbled bum does that make me out to be?
You're the kind of a stumbled bum that left your fingerprints all over the room when you killed Phil Burns.
Polly's jaw drops and she rushes to Abrams.
Phil dead?
Yes, strangled.
Well, I didn't do it.
Then why did you go to his place?
Because I thought he'd gunned my game. I figured he tried to hold up Landis and had to kill him. So I pushed him around a little bit just to learn him manners.
Phooey!
When I left him, he had a split lip and a couple of dents in him, but he was just as much alive as you are. If that means anything.
Just a minute, Lieutenant. Polly, who knew that Phil was your husband?
What?
You were married, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, so Phil was your husband.
As if you didn't know.
I didn't know it until now. I wish I had, baby.
Didn't you ever tell anyone that you were married?
No.
Would Phil have told?
No. He knew if Dancer heard, I'd lose my job.
Did you and Phil ever talk about it?
Yeah. One night last week, But nobody could have heard. We were alone down in my room.
Oh. Nick crosses to the bedroom area, kicks aside the area rug, and removes the floor panel. Abrams follows and watches. Nick gives Abrams the earphones.
With these earphones, Anderson could hear everything going on down in your place.
Everything?
Everything.
Holy smoke!
He knew more about all of you than you know yourselves. Dancer, you went to Phil's room right after you pulled the switch at the light key, didn't you?
Yes.
That was about 1. What time was Phil killed?
About 4, as near as we can figure.
Mm-hmm. At 4:30, Anderson threw this note through my window. He was beginning to make use of the information he gathered while he was up here. Dancer, how do you spell married?
Get Casper on the phone.
We're past that. Polly, how do you spell married?
M-A-R... M-A-R-R-Y-E-D.
Thank you. You see, when it comes to words like that, an illiterate person...
What do you mean, illiterate? My father and mother were married right here in the city hall.
You... Having a good time, Mrs. Charles?
It couldn't be better.
This note is a poor attempt at illiteracy. The easy words are spelled wrong and the tough ones are spelled right. Like to see it, Lum? That was meant just to get me down to Phil's place, to find his body. And your fingerprints, Dancer, somebody's framing you.
You say you don't know this Pedro?
No.
Well, there's a picture of him over here. Perhaps this will refresh your memory.
Nick, it's the photo Nora had earlier.
Were you in on his check business?
I know nothing about it.
You lie. You were up here with those earphones on, listening to everything. You were sore because they weren't cutting you in on it. You followed Landis that night and tried to stick him up, but something went wrong and you had to kill him.
I do not kill Pedro. I do not follow Mr. Landis. As Dancer, I go with him to get air.
So you're the one that's framing me, huh?
You aren't with me. You can't use me for an alibi. You're dirt.
Wait!
Just a minute, please. All this time, I've been waiting for someone to make a slip. Someone has made it. We've been wrong. This wasn't a killing for money. It was a murder of hatred, of revenge. Polly, what did Phil go to the pen for?
Blackmail.
Blackmail. Did you and Phil talk about that, too, down below?
Yes.
Thank you. David, when were you supposed to give Robert the money to go away?
This morning.
In cash?
Yes.
And when he decided to go last night, you had to give him bonds?
Yes, that's right, Nick.
But where did you expect to get cash on New Year's Day? A bank holiday.
Well, it was funny. I forgot about that.
No, you didn't, David. You never intended to give Robert that money. You didn't want him to go away. You wanted to kill him. You wanted to get even with him because he took Selma away from him.
Well, Nick, please. Nor is he fooling.
Oh, no. But you were fooling, David, when you said that you hadn't seen Pedro in 6 years. You said that he had a long white mustache. Well, he has a long white mustache now. But look at that picture. There he is 6 years ago, and his mustache is neither long nor white. You didn't notice him 6 years ago any more than I did. You remember him as you saw him last night when you shot him. You killed him, and then you killed Robert. Phil saw you do that. That's why he followed you. That's why he was on your fire escape. He was going to blackmail you. So you killed him, too. And then you threw that note in at my window, hoping to throw me off your trail.
David! David, don't let him say those terrible things. Tell him it isn't true. Tell him it isn't true.
Ask him why he threw your gun away, Selma. He knew that it hadn't been fired and that you only had to show it to prove your innocence, yet he threw it away. Ask him why he did that.
David, say you didn't do it.
Wasn't it because you hated her as much as you did Robert? Wasn't it because you wanted to get even with her, too? Wasn't it because you wanted to see her hang for Robert's murder?
Oh, David.
Tell her the truth now, David. You don't have to pretend anymore.
All right, it's true, every word of it. I've hated her, hated them both ever since she threw me over for Robert. I've been planning and waiting and watching for the time to come when I could get even with them for ruining my life. I killed Robert, but not the way I wanted to. It was too quick, too easy.
I wanted to see him suffer like he'd made me suffer.
David bites the back of his trembling hand and points at Selma.
I wanted to see you hang. I wanted to see you go gradually madder and madder and madder until the day finally came when you were going to hang. Well, I made a mess out of everything. All right.
David pulls a gun.
I don't want a single move out of any one of you.
Lumpke is holding his hat and raises his arms.
All right, Selma. I may not see you hang, but I'm going to see you die.
Don't be a fool, David.
Get out of the way, Nora.
Nora, let me go. He will.
No jury will hold you responsible. Dr. Kammer was right.
I got 6 bullets in this gun. One for her, one for myself. Yeah, one for myself. And the rest of them for anybody that tries to stop me. Get out of the way!
Lumpke throws his hat at David.
Give me that gun. Get him out.
Mickey!
That's it. I'll kill him. I'll get him out.
Nick!
I'll kill her! Let me out!
Heavens, I was right. The man is crazy.
I can't believe it. David!
Well, you certainly can pick them.
Nice work, Abrams. Nice.
Oh,
work.
Yeah? Come on, Dancer.
What
for? About 10 years for forgery. And not counting the pot shot you took of Mr. Charles. Come on, get out of here. You too, sister.
Listen, this wasn't my idea.
You were in with him, weren't you?
Yeah.
Well,
but...
you're going to be in with him again. Come on.
Nicky, are you sure you're all right?
I'm afraid so. Nice work, Lama.
And you sent his brother up.
Sure, Mr. Charles sent him up. Number one detective. I don't like my brother. I like his girl. I'm your friend. You betcha.
Later, a train is moving along the track. Nick, Nora, Selma, and a porter are inside.
Here's to a very pleasant trip abroad.
Thanks. London, Paris, Vienna, and points east.
They drink a toast.
Ah, splendid, Dudley, splendid. You're getting better every trip.
The telegraph boy at the last station said there's a lot of telegrams from Mr. Nick Charles.
Who's Nick Charles? I never heard of him.
That's what I said.
Fine.
Your room's ready, ma'am.
Thanks. Well, good night, dear.
Good night, sweet. Sleep well.
Don't worry, I shall. Good night, Nick. And thanks so much for everything. I want to kiss you. May I?
Go right ahead. But I warn you, it's a hard habit to get out of.
She kisses Nick's cheek and leaves.
Good night, Selma.
Nick smiles. His smile fades, and he looks around the stateroom before turning to Nora somberly.
Nora!
What's the matter, Nick?
It isn't true.
What isn't true?
Shh. Pinch me.
Why?
Pinch me. It is true.
What?
We're alone. No family, no friends, no reporters, no police, no nothing. Good.
I suppose we ought to decide where we're going.
Why, do you care?
No, but I haven't any clothes.
Well, what's the difference? Save you the trouble of packing. And I don't need anything in the world, darling, but you. And a toothbrush. What's that?
Nick takes knitting from Nora's hands. She's holding a baby booty.
Looks like a baby's sock.
Nora smiles. He starts to take a drink, stops, and slowly looks up at Nora as his mouth falls open.
And you call yourself a detective?
Why, Mrs. Charles.
He leans forward and they kiss.
Skippy, the dog who played Asta, was friendly on screen, but according to William Powell and Myrna Loy, he was usually rather aloof between scenes. Skippy, in fact, was not allowed to play with anyone between scenes on a film, especially the stars playing Nick and Nora. Myrna Loy said she was forbidden to even pet him off camera. His trainer was concerned that if a friendship developed between the actors and the dog, it might break the dog's concentration when the cameras started to roll. His trainer felt he needed to retain the dog's full focus, but that rule was quite okay with Myrna Loy, who once was bitten by Skippy during the shooting of a scene. I mean, that's the most disappointing thing I ever heard. Asta biting Nora?